If you have a Bible this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We want to begin reading at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good purpose, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a hiding place in Christ. And Father, he has hid us from your wrath and delivered us, Lord, into your heavenly kingdom. We thank you for your blessed word. Father, we realize this morning that without you, we can do nothing. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit and open up our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your glorious law. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have to confess, since I've been going through the book of Ephesians, which seems like it's been forever, really haven't been there long, I understand the gospel a lot better. I have a greater appreciation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the more that I read this book, the more have confidence I have that Christ will win. Now, Paul says here in Ephesians 1, verse 8, he says, He has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He said, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. And what Paul is telling us in this verse is not only has God's grace brought unto us redemption and forgiveness, but his grace has abounded, it has overflowed toward us in wisdom and in prudence. The riches of God's grace go beyond the matter of forgiveness, but they've so abounded that we've been blessed with wisdom and prudence. In other words, that we have understanding that is absolutely necessary to understand and know the mystery of the will of God. Also to know his eternal purpose, which is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in this first chapter, we've seen three basic things. We've seen that God has chosen us in him. We've seen that he has predestinated us unto the adoption of sons, and he has made known unto us the mystery of his will. But Paul says here in verse 9, he said, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And he said, God has made this known to us because it pleased him to do so. Before God ever made man or the world, he purposed in himself the plan of redemption. It all originated in the heart and the mind of God. And Paul is saying that God purposed this good pleasure of his towards men. If you remember at the birth of Christ, when the angels came, they spoke of goodwill towards men, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. This was God's message to man, that not only did he purpose and plan salvation, but he's going to reveal salvation to men. This mystery of God is a mystery that is now made known. The riches of his grace has brought us wisdom and prudence in order that we might have insight and understanding in the mystery of God's will and his gracious purposes. Multitudes reject Christianity because they say that they cannot understand it. It's unreasonable. It doesn't make any sense at all. In other words, a lot of people say that Christianity is not relevant for the days and times in which we live in this modern society. A lot of people will mock and make fun of the gospel. They make fun of Jesus Christ and Christianity. They call it a foolishness, outdated, puritanical, and it's just a bunch of religious myths of no use to this modern society. And of course, you know, the day we live in now, as Daryl talked about this morning, we're going to see a lot more rejection of Christianity and the gospel of Christ. But what I want to tell you this morning is you should not be surprised at it at all. Because the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, for the message of the cross, in other words, the message of Christian salvation is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the question we want to ask this morning is, how does one ever come to a knowledge of this great salvation which is in Jesus Christ. In other words, how do you ever come to understand this mighty eternal purpose of God to save man? And the first thing Paul talks about in these verses is the mystery of his will. And Paul is telling us is that when saving grace comes in your life, you are given wisdom and prudence in order to understand this mystery. Now, the Apostle Paul will use this term mystery in his epistles, and you will also see this term mystery used throughout the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself used the term mystery throughout the New Testament, and two specific places that he uses it is in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. Now, what he does when he uses this term mystery, he uses it to explain to his disciples his method of teaching the mystery or the truth concerning the kingdom of God by parables. And so we see in Matthew 13, verse 10, he says, and the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given to know." In other words, I have not given it to them to understand. He spoke these parables, and as he was speaking these parables, the Pharisees were standing right there beside the disciples. They heard the same words that they heard, and they left not understanding the parables or the meaning of the parables that Jesus had just spoken unto them. You say, why did they not understand? The reason why they didn't understand the mystery of the parables, because the mystery of the kingdom was hidden from them. Jesus said, it's given to you to know the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. This is a warning to us this morning. What's the warning? Take heed how you hear. Because, brethren, you can criticize what's preached. You can avoid what's preached. You can pay no attention to what's preached. But let me tell you what the danger of it is. God may be hiding it from you. You say, why did he hide it from the Pharisees? Because they were continually rejecting the words of Jesus Christ. And they were continually rejecting the mystery of the will of God. James chapter 1, verse 21, this is what James says. He says, receive with meekness. In other words, receive with thankfulness and gentleness and kindness the implanted word of God. And he says, the reason why you need to receive it with meekness, because it's able to save your souls. Well, God hid the mystery of his will and the mystery of the kingdom of God for these Pharisees. And this is what theologians call judicial hardening. They hardened their hearts. They stopped up their ears. They closed their eyes. And when they did that, God hid it from them. So you see two things in this. You see human responsibility and the sovereignty of God. Well, the apostle speaks of the mystery that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world and has now been made manifest into this world. Let me read you a few scriptures of this mystery he's talking about. Romans 16:25. He said, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures and made known unto all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, there's a lot of these, we'll just read a few. He said, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Verse 8, he says, "which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Ephesians 3:3, "by revelation he has made known to me the mystery." And then he speaks to them of the understanding, this knowledge of the mystery in Christ. So this word mystery occurs 6 times in Ephesians and 21 times in other books of the New Testament. And the classic one is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." So as we look at the mystery of God's will this morning, the first thing I want to look at is what the word mystery used in the New Testament does not mean. Okay? It's not some mystic secret that is revealed only to a select few, but is deliberately kept or hidden from everybody else. All through the history of the world, there have been many religions that are mysterious. I was studying this the other day. I said I should use the word weird, but they're mysterious. And even in Paul's day, there were a lot of cultic religions. And in the day we live in, there are still a lot of cults and secret societies and that have this closely regarded secret that they have, that they are the only chosen few, and they're the only exceptional few, and nobody knows these secrets. Now, some of these cults, you'll go through certain initiation processes to be received into this cult and to partake of this great mystery. One I know for sure is the Masons, and then there's other secret societies. I don't want to get into all that this morning, but you can get you a book on the cults, and you'd be surprised how many cults are around, have been around throughout history. But these groups will meet in secret, and the candidate would have to take a pledge never to expose this great mysterious secret that only they know. Now, this may not seem serious to us, okay? But let me tell you something. When people draw you off to themselves and you get into these exclusive societies, tragedy is going to happen. Give you, for instance, have you ever heard of a man named Jim Jones? Y'all wasn't, some of you not old enough, you wasn't here when he did it. Do you ever heard of him? Brethren, hundreds died because of his mysteries. Have you ever heard of David Koresh? Many perished as well. They kept everything secret from the world. They had revelation of God that nobody else could obtain. And they had an unscriptural separation from the world. And gullible people were convinced that they were particularly a part of what was happening, especially in the book of Revelation. These men claimed that they were not only did they have the revelation of God, but that they were the Messiah ushering in the kingdom of God. There's a scripture in Isaiah where God says that I am God and there is none but me. And Jim Jones, I seen it on a thing that I was watching. They were showing a documentary on him. And he stood up before them. He said, from this point on, I am God and there is none other. And they were amen and everything. I said, what a bunch of, well, you need some discernment. Crazy. They all dead now, most of them. Well, and there's many others that have been on the scene. Families have been destroyed. There's been all kind of perversions. There's been horrible deaths. It's been pure tragedy. And a lot of people that have survived this can never trust men again to say anything about God. Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, before he was resurrected and ascended back into heaven, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. But what you need to do, if you're a Christian, is Acts 17:10. You need to be like the Bereans, search the scriptures daily to make sure it's truth. You need to search the scriptures, even with what we say up here, to make sure it's truth. You say, why do I need to do it? One reason why is because you need to be studying your Bible anyway. And when you go home, you need to read your Bible other than here. And you need to understand what truth is, because you can sit here and still not receive the truth. And this all can still be a mystery to you. Well, and another area that you need to watch out, especially in these days and time, is these end time prophecy teachers and conferences. A lot of people spend all their time trying to unfold the mysteries of the book of Revelation on things that are not clearly revealed. But the bad side of it is, they don't know the mystery of God's will in his purpose and plan of redemption through Christ Jesus, that which has been clearly revealed. All these secrets, this mysterious garbage, is the very opposite of true Christianity. Are y'all with me? What we're doing here today is not a secret. Christianity preaches, it proclaims, it heralds its message to the whole world. Christianity has a desire that everyone in the world know this and that everyone in the world believe this. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13-14, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And he said, you don't light a lamp and hide it under a basket. He said, basically, you want everybody to see it and we want everybody to hear it. Romans 10, we send out preachers with glad tidings of good things to the whole world. When Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what I'm basically saying this morning, when we're talking about the mystery of God's will, I'm saying this morning there is nothing mysterious going on here. There's nothing that we're trying to hide or conceal. The doors of this building are wide open to whosoever will come and hear the gospel. We're not ashamed of the message of the gospel of Christ. Now, I do realize that we have brethren in other countries under severe persecution, and because of the persecution and the hostility to Christianity, they do have to meet in secret. But they're not having secret meetings believing something to be secret. They have to meet in secret as wisdom to protect the sheep. But the message that they're preaching is not secret. They're preaching the glorious will of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the bottom line here is this. When you see the word mystery in the New Testament, it does not mean that it's some closely guarded secret that only a few can know. It's not something vague that cannot be comprehended. I know the word mystery, if you look at the way the ancients described the word mystery, they would say it's something hidden or secret. But in the New Testament, the word history has a special meaning. It is very simple. Mystery of God's will is divine truth that has been made fully known in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, but I want something deeper. You don't need nothing deeper. I mean, that's all you need to know. And I tell you what, if you can understand that this morning, you are a blessed man and you are a blessed woman. So Jesus told his disciples, he said, a lot of prophets and righteous men would love to hear what you hear and to see what you see. And you, we sit around, well, you know, it's boring at that church and we never do anything and we hear the same thing. Can you understand it? Because some of these places you go don't have to have an understanding. You need to understand the gospel. You need to understand the mystery of God's will. Well, Paul uses this mystery to speak of the thoughts and the plans of God and his purposes. And it seems to have special reference to God's eternal purpose of including the Gentiles as well as the Jews in the scope of the reign of Christ. Now, I'll give you these scriptures. We're not going to read them this morning. But Ephesians 3:3, 4, and 9, it seems like he speaks of the Gentiles coming in to the kingdom of God. But these plans of God are hidden from all human reason and comprehension, and they have to be divinely revealed to ever know them at all. So if we're going to know God's hidden purpose, he has to reveal it to us. And this is what one man says. He says, man with his unaided fallen mind and intellect can never discover the mysteries of Christ. It must be revealed to him or he cannot understand it. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What's this mystery? The hidden wisdom which God ordained, in other words, he preordained, predetermined before the ages for his glory. So the apostle Paul refers to God's wisdom as a hidden wisdom. And he says, the rulers of this age did not know this wisdom because they were seeking to understand the wisdom of God with their unaided minds. Question comes up again. How does fallen man ever come to know the wisdom of God? How do these hidden things, like God's hidden thoughts and purposes, ever become comprehensible to fallen man? How can he know the thoughts and the plans and the purposes of God? You should be able to answer that. God has revealed them to him through his Spirit. This word revealed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Reveal means to take off the cover. God has exposed them to us. He has unveiled them to us by his Holy Spirit. And then Paul goes on to say that the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. In other words, the Spirit of God searches the deeper truths about God. Paul goes on to say, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God. No one knows the plans and the purposes of God except who? The Spirit of God. And if the Spirit doesn't show it to you, you do not know it." Are y'all with me? That's why people are so crazy in the world today, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And they're trying to figure out God without his Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Y'all with me? Not some man or who he thinks God is or what he thinks God is like. All this hogwash. When you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the deep things of God, the thoughts of God, the plans and purposes of God. The gospel is simple. It's very, very simple if you have the Holy Spirit. I was thinking the other day when I was in the Navy, they gave us this a Bible, and it had Proverbs and the New Testament. And I was in such misery in boot camp, I tried to read it, needing that I'm going to need it to live. I could not understand any of it. I looked at it, I said, this is like Chinese arithmetic to me. I mean, you know, Chinese algebra or something. It doesn't make any kind of sense at all. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit came, I could look at it, read it, understand. I didn't know everything. But you understand what I'm saying? I could understand. I could see Christ, who he was, why he died for my sins, what I was a sinner. And I could see it all. Couldn't see it then because it didn't have the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which are freely being given to us by God. So we know these things. We're able to comprehend these things as a result of the operation of the Holy Spirit. Christ points this out in Matthew chapter 11. You know this scripture very well. Matthew 11, 25. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise, the prudent of this world, and have revealed it to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. And all Jesus is saying here is that the Father hides truth from the wise and the prudence of this world. The prudent of this world, it remains a mystery to them. But he reveals it to babes in order that his people may enjoy the mystery of his will. Anybody know what a babe is? It's somebody who's simple-minded. Are y'all with me? If you saved this morning, you're very simple-minded. Most people don't want to hear that. You really are. And you're a childlike person. And what simple-minded really means is that you're teachable and you're humble in your spirit. What has he revealed to babes? He's revealed to them and he's given them understanding of his will and purpose in salvation. Now that brings us to verse 8. He said, which he made to abound toward us in wisdom, all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in himself. God's will and purpose of salvation is known only when he reveals it to us. And like I said, mystery is a mystery, but it's not something that inherently or essentially is incomprehensible to the human mind. It's not a secret beyond the reach of the human mind. Saving truth is no longer a mystery for the Christian, but saving truth is a mystery to the non-Christian because God has revealed it. He's unfolded this mystery to those who have believed. To the Christian, the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of God's will is an open secret. Because God, in his grace and kindness and the riches of his grace, has been pleased to unfold his will to his people. Now, where do you find the mystery of the will of God, the revelation of the mystery of the will of God? Where do you find it? Amen. Daryl got it again. In the pages of Scripture. You say, big deal. Let me tell you something. Not just anybody can come to the Word of God, read it, and apply his mind to it and his intellect and understand the message. Great educated men have come to the New Testament with great ability, great understanding, all kind of degrees in theology, and still can't see the truth of the gospel. They literally do not understand the message of the cross. You say, why is this so? Because Paul says this. He says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know what? Just like we got kids in here today. When you get to a certain age, and if you're still unsaved, more than likely you think everything we do here is foolish. They're wasting their time. We could be doing other things on Sunday. You know, it's all silly and the stuff they're talking about. There's nothing wrong with me. If the Holy Spirit comes, you'll find out a whole lot is wrong with you. In Paul's day, the truth was being presented to these intellectual Greeks, and they could not see it. You say, who is the natural man? The natural man or woman are the man and woman without the Spirit of God. And Jesus said in John 3:3, this is the words of Christ. He said, "Assuredly I say to you," he told Nicodemus, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In other words, he needs to be born from above. He needs to be born of the Spirit of God. He cannot see, perceive, understand, or partake of the kingdom of God. He's telling him that the Holy Spirit's operation is absolutely necessary before you can ever receive the truth and begin to understand it. And that's why the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, the Greeks, I think Daryl talked about this morning, they were seeking wisdom. The philosophers were seeking knowledge and understanding, and they tried by human reasoning to find God and understand Him and understand the world. Y'all with me? This thing about the homosexual situation now and the homosexual marriages and everything that's going on in the world, they think God will receive this because they misinterpret, like he said this morning, love. Y'all with me? God understands it's all love and things like this. And like, you have to understand what love is, and you have to understand what sin is, and you better understand who God is. I told Benicia the other day, I said, the day of judgment, it's going to be some weeping people who have perverted who God is. He's still God. Are y'all with me? He's still God. And I'm going to tell you this morning. If the Holy Spirit hadn't shown him to you, you don't know God. And the first thing that happened to me when the Holy Spirit showed me God is I had a fear of God. And it wasn't a fear like, you know, well, it was that kind of fear, but it wasn't that kind of fear, but reverence and respect, knowing that he was sinless, spotless, and holy. He's God. When a man talked about God, he said, "How could you describe God?" He said, "He is that where which nothing greater can be thought." Can you think of anything greater? Then that's God. Can you think of anything equal? No. Only God. Well, they tried by human reasoning to find God and to understand him and the world through human reasoning. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, the world by wisdom knew not God, and the world still doesn't, because the world's wisdom is not enough. But God by his Spirit must give us understanding. And brethren, until one who is dead in sins and trespasses is made alive in Christ and born of the Spirit of God, they will not embrace the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. They will not understand it because it's spiritually discerned. You must have the Spirit to understand it. God freely gives wisdom and prudence to babes, simple-minded nothings of this world. God, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age," he says, "let him become a fool that he may be wise." In other words, let him be without worldly wisdom that he may really be wise. He says, Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, if you want to understand and enter to the wisdom of God, you have to become like a little child. You have to renounce all earthly wisdom and reliance upon human powers and faculties. You have to become a fool by this world's standards and say to yourself, "I'm nothing. My abilities are useless in this realm. I have become as a little child." Y'all with me? People say stuff about Christians like they're so stupid. They just believe this crazy stuff, you know, and they believe it. Yeah. But, you know, they think it's stupid that you're willing to lay down your life for a Jewish carpenter who died on a tree. To the world, as absolute stupidity. I've noticed over the years, because of the wisdom of the world, things like submission, you know, wives to their husbands, things like that are just eroding away. It doesn't make sense. You know, you're killing a woman of her career. You know, you shouldn't put her under bondage. That's worldly wisdom. I didn't get too many of y'all women should be saying amen. That's worldly wisdom. That's worldly wisdom. You shouldn't buy into that. That is not the wisdom of God. You want the wisdom of God? Go in this book. I told Benicia all the time when I was going out in the mornings and it was snowing and everything, I said, "I'll trade places any day you want to trade." I said, "You got it made." She's sitting there drinking a cup of tea and I'm going out, snow up his hat. I said, "Go, I'll trade." Y'all with me? She's still. But God in his grace has revealed to us the mystery of his will. And it's so abounded in us. This is how much his grace by the mystery of his will has abounded in us. We can say we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2:12. But we have the mind of Christ because of the riches of his grace. And God has given us all wisdom and prudence in order to understand his will. And let me give you, before we close down this morning, let me give you a definition of wisdom and prudence. Wisdom can mean intellectual knowledge. It can mean knowledge that sees into the heart of things. Or wisdom can mean knowledge that knows things as they really are. All wisdom God has given by his Spirit to every believer. And what wisdom is the power to understand or the power to comprehend all the things of God, to see in the heart of the things of God. Are y'all with me? I said, see into the heart of the things of God. See beyond just words on pages of scripture, but you can see into the heart of the scriptures. I thought the other day, I think a lot. We have people in this church who are blind. But you know what? They can see better than most people in this world because they can see in the heart of the scriptures. They have scriptural perception of the will of God. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the eyes of the Spirit. And they can understand the things that have been given to us by God. Prudence means discernment. It means insight or practical wisdom. Wisdom is a state of mind that includes your affections as well as your understanding. It means spiritual discernment. It's the ability to discern the excellence of the things of God. What I mean when I talk about prudence, it takes up your whole soul. It takes up your affections, your interests, your love. My whole being is affected by prudence. Okay? Matthew 16, this is an example. Simon Peter just made his great confession. The Christ is the Savior. It's Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus begins to tell his disciples, he says, I have to go to Jerusalem and die the death on the cross. In verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me. And this is what prudence is. This is exactly what Peter did not have when he said this. He said, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And what he's telling him here is you're not interested. You do not appreciate. You do not understand the things of God. You understand only the things of men. I must go to the cross or there'll be no salvation. Y'all with me? You don't have to go to church every Sunday. I must go to church. Y'all with me? I can miss and there'll be salvation. You understand what I'm saying? You know. Romans 8, verse 3 said, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, their minds on the things of the Spirit. It is just simply talking about setting your minds on something. Men who are of the flesh, they're interested in carnal things. They're interested in the things of this world. And this is all of their interest and enjoyment. But the opposite is the born-again child of God. They have been given all wisdom and prudence, and they mind the things of the Spirit of God, and they set their affections on things above. Well, question before us this morning. There have been great advances in knowledge. There have been great advances in science and medicine and technology. Are the old paths still relevant for today? Are y'all with me? People have changed. People think different. They live different. We have new problems to deal with now because of the advances of the minds of men. And this is what most people say. Because of this, we need something new and a different way to reach modern man. And you know what? That's been the downfall of many churches. Y'all with me? I'm old school. But he said, tell you, I'm one way. But he said, you need to change something. And I realize if I need to change something, but she knows that I'm a stickler with whatever I get. You know, and if it changes, I mean, I'm still going through this cell phone thing. I got mad the other week. The thing wanted to download. I couldn't download it. I couldn't get in my email. And stuff was flying everywhere. I was going to throw it. Amen. I was going to pitch it. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's just me. I'm the problem on the other end. I'm doing good better. I even read my Kindle, man. I mean, I'm doing good. But let me say it to you this way. I don't care how advanced modern man is, his problem is still the same. Nothing has changed. And I'm going to give you four things this morning as we close down. Number one, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Man's mind, whether it's the first century or the 21st century, is totally incapable on its own of receiving the things of the Spirit of God. And to the unsaved man or woman 2,000 years ago or today, it's just as much a mystery then as it is today. And science and technology and education, those things are good. You need them to make it in this world, but they're totally irrelevant in the spiritual realm. So what are you saying? You must be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit to understand the mystery of the will of God. And until you come to Christ, it will always be a mystery. Because the Spirit of God has to show you what it is. Number two, the unchangeable Word of God alone must always be our only and final authority. 1 Peter 1:23, the Word of God lives and abides forever, regardless of what age you live in. All flesh is as grass that fades away. Man is temporary, whether it's in the first century or whether it's in the 21st century. Man is temporary. He's just grass. And some of these people, you know, they're talking about global warming. The ones that came up with it, they won't be on this earth that much longer. I believe in global warming. I believe the whole thing's going to burn up. I do. I believe in it. But anyway, but the word of the Lord endures forever. There's nothing new in the 21st century. There's no new ways given by God for man to be saved. Nothing can be added to or taken away from what has already been revealed. We live on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and we can't go beyond that. The canon is closed.
Amen.
And if you get saved, it'll come from hearing the word of God. Because faith cometh. And nothing will change to get man into the kingdom of God except the old paths. And the prophet said, for that is the good way. And that is the best way. And that is the only way. Number three, the work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to understand Scripture. We said this before, I'll say it again. Truth is spiritually discerned. You have to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit or you'll never understand Scripture or receive it. And I'm going to tell you something today, brethren. If you're struggling so much with so many things, especially things that are preached that you don't like, maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Paul puts in that scripture, he said, nor do they receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because the interest some people have and call themselves Christians, it makes you want to say, do you have the Spirit of God? Do you ever get convicted about anything? I mean, does this matter at all? I mean, this is eternity. You know, some people are urgent, some people are not. I'm going, anyway, y'all with me? You may be weak, you may be struggling, you may be this, that, or the other, but I'm telling you something right now. When the Spirit of God comes, you embrace the things of God. Some people have a tighter embrace than others, but you embrace the things of God. And you love the things of God. Oh, they're Christians. When's the last time they've been to church? In 1864? Well, yeah, they're Christian. Okay, yeah. You know, but they love God. Oh, they do. No. And the good news this morning is, because this is God's way, there is hope for all to understand. Because God gives wisdom and prudence by the riches of His grace. And He enables people to understand the Scripture. Intellect or absence of intellect does not make a vital difference. The understanding given by God through His Spirit is open to all. Brethren, salvation is spiritual. It's all given by God, from the oldest to the youngest, from the richest to the poorest, from whoever will let Him come. Well, 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29, we'll read it. You know what it says? The nothings and nobodies, the weak and the despised of this world are the ones whom God chooses to show this to. And he does this to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh will glory in his presence. He said, him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And you have to remember that this morning, we are all on the same level. And so we must glory in nothing or no one except the Lord. Now for application this morning, this truth is good news. Are y'all with me? And this, I'm going to give you a quote what this man said. He said, this is the basis for missionary activity, taking the gospel to the whole world, because salvation is all of God and it's spiritual. And what he basically says is you can go into the deepest jungles of this world, to people who are utterly uneducated and uncivilized and unlearned and ignorant, and they can't even read and write. But you can take this gospel and preach to them the same as you do in an educated, civilized society. You say, why is that hope? Because God can enlighten them through his Holy Spirit. I knew a man that could not read, but he could read his Bible and understood it. Why? Holy Spirit. Had to be the Holy Spirit. Most of you early Christians were unlearned slaves, but the gospel was preached to the poor and God responded for his glory. So if you got great intellect, it's no advantage over others. We all stand on the same ground. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. So never forget 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. I'm saying this morning, if you're smart this morning, I'm not getting on you. Because God can use your intellect for the kingdom work, okay? But I'm saying this morning, the power of intellect does not make you a Christian. The power of God, by the Spirit of God, is what makes you a Christian. Because you believe the things of God, and you can look and you can see into the deeper things of God. Now, to the younger birds this morning, I'll tell you this morning, we tell you this all the time. The gospel is simple. If you're filled with the Spirit of God. Y'all with me? The moment that you believe, you've already been saved. The moment that your eyes are open and that you see that you need to repent and believe in Christ, the Spirit of God has already touched you and gave you understanding of the gospel. And Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. If you're unsaved this morning, three things you need to do this morning. You need to become a fool this morning in the eyes of the world in order to be made wise. Are y'all with me? The second thing, you need to become a little child. Watch these little kids when they play. They have not a care in this world. And if you tell them something, they really believe it. Y'all with me? You can tell kids, they believe it for a while anyway. And they believe it. They're just innocent. You know, they're open. And the third thing, you need to be born of the Spirit in order to embrace and understand and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, God, by the riches of his grace, he's given us all wisdom and prudence to understand the things of God. What a blessing it is. Yeah, the world thinks we're dumb, but that's okay. Every time I read 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29, I'll say that is the only chance I had to get in the kingdom of God. Because, you know, the wise and foolish debate, I said, this gives me a chance to get into the kingdom of God. But I'm blessed that it's there. And he doesn't just do that. You know, there's wise people. People that's worldly wise to get in the kingdom of God, too. But next time we'll continue to look at the mystery of God's will. And one other side of that mystery is Ephesians 1:10. He said that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So one thing, one mystery that we have that other people don't have is that Christians have been entrusted with nothing less than the truth of the ultimate destiny of the universe. And you know what? God's going to reestablish what was here in the garden. And you know what? You don't have to know about all the stuff in the book of Revelations to start jumping and shouting when you see that he's going to reconcile all things in Christ. And put everything back in perfect harmony as it was and even better than it was. Now you can be saved. You cry out and say, Lord, open up my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. Lord, let me see the truth of Scripture. Lord, give me prudence. Give me wisdom and understanding that I can grasp and take hold to and embrace the truth. And you'll be saved. But it's all in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. Father, we realize that if you hadn't opened our eyes, we would still be blind to all of these blessed truths of your word. And Father, help us to never take it for granted that we have your precious word. Father, help us to never despise your holy word. Help us never to despise your holy day. Help us never to despise the preachers of the gospel and your people throughout this world. Father, we thank you that you loved us from before the foundation of the world and that you had a plan to save us, and you have revealed it, Lord, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we ask you to have mercy upon sinners this day. Open their eyes, Lord, that they can see the truth of the gospel and save their souls, Lord, making them citizens of your kingdom. Father, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.